Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 to 20. Restoration is the goal. God has provided a most effective problem resolution plan. And it's a three-dimensional perspective. First of all, it is an attitude of seeking restoration to fellowship. If you're there with me in Matthew chapter 18, look at verse 12. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Perish refers to spiritual damage, not eternal destruction. God's children cannot perish in the ultimate sense of hell. John chapter 10, verse 28 makes it clear, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Jesus is our example. His attitude was to give up the glory of heaven and come to earth and save us. That is the expression of God's love for his lost and rebellious children. Jesus came when we were deep in the patterns of our sin. His attitude was restoration. We are called by God to be ministers of reconciliation. So, first of all, there's an attitude of seeking restoration to fellowship. Second, there's an action of attempting resolution of offense. Look at verse 15. "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you as a heathen and a tax collector." If a Christian is wronged by another believer, he should not complain about it to others, which is, unfortunately, what is usually done. Instead, he should go to the offender privately, state the problem in a kind manner, and let him see his offense. If the offender is a true Christian, the encounter should have the desired effect, and the two will be reconciled. Sadly, these rules are neglected by most Christians, and the ministry of the church is seriously affected by bitterness. What is the prescription for solving church offenses? Well, notice, this text must be understood in the context of the parable of the lost sheep in the previous verses. And why is that? Because the goal is restoration, if successful. You have gained your brother. So, four steps in the process of seeking the restoration of an offender. First of all, go to him privately. The first part of verse 15. "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, restoration will occur. If he refuses to reconcile, then the next step, go to him with witnesses." Verse 16, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And why? Well, it may be that the accuser has the problem, not the other. If he still won't resolve the conflict, even with witnesses, well, then the next step, bring the matter to the church. First part of verse 17. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. You see, at this point, because he's rejected the private visit, because he's rejected the witnesses, at this point, it is a church problem. A refusal to resolve a conflict is blatant sin. And it will affect the ministry of the church. If he refuses to even listen to the church, well, then the fourth step, treat him as an unbeliever. Second part of verse 17. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Listen, remove him from church membership and relate to him as one who needs to be converted. Remove him as a negative influence on the fellowship of the church. Regard him as a prospect. Why? Because he's acting like an unbeliever. Any Christian, listen, any Christian who refuses to reconcile with another believer is acting like an unbeliever, and he should be treated as such. So, there is an attitude of seeking restoration in the fellowship that's needed for effective problem resolution. And then there's an action of attempting resolution of the offense. And then third, there is an appropriation of the authority of the church. Verse 18. Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. In all church decisions, we should seek direction in prayer. Whenever we meet in the name of Jesus Christ, we should consider him as present. Bind on earth, bound in heaven. John chapter 20, verses 22-23, it says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. If you go back and remember my notes, what I told you when we looked at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19, Jesus established the authority of the church. The keys of the kingdom of heaven represent authority. He gave Peter and all believers, not just Peter, Peter and all believers authority to declare what was bound or loosed in heaven. A body of believers, in accordance with God's word, has authority to declare if someone is forgiven or unforgiven. The church's, listen carefully, the church's authority is not to determine these things, but to declare the judgment of heaven that has already occurred based on the principles of God's word. The Greek tense is perfect passive participle, which reflects an action that was completed in the past that has continuing results in the future. So what they, the church, bind or loose on earth is already bound or loosed in heaven. And why is that? Well, it's only the King in heaven who has the authority to do these things. When judgments are made based on God's word, we can know heaven agrees. Two or three in my name. Jewish tradition requires that at least 10 men be present to constitute a synagogue or hold public prayer. Jesus promised to be present in an even smaller group. The context of the statement is two or three witnesses gathered in his name for the purpose of discipline. That's the actual content of that. You have a great day.